I would hate to be remembered by my greatest moment of doubt because I've had them. I could be doubting Vincent very easily. I guess a lot of us could be something similar, but as much as Thomas sort of gets this label as the disciple who didn't believe, he's been a favorite. Because of all of the disciples, he's the one I think most of us can relate to. Why? Because most of us understand what it is to live between faith and doubt. We think of faith and doubt as opposites, but that's not really true. Faith and apathy are more opposite than faith and doubt, but doubt is often a key part of the journey of faith. It's a stop along the way that most of us make more than once. When we find ourselves there, it's not an indication of us being bad Christians or disbelievers. It's a sign that we are taking our relationship with God seriously, enough that we are letting ourselves be honest. We are allowing ourselves to start a journey without knowing exactly where we are going. Like Thomas, I too doubted. I sort of see myself in the actions and mindset of Thomas. I tend to look for concrete facts to make my decisions. I do not totally rely on the word of another, as Thomas did not do when he told the disciples that when the disciples told him that they had seen the Lord. He wanted to see with his own eyes, just as they had. The risen, living Jesus that he knew was crucified days earlier. I worked September 11th, 2001, and watched both towers collapse. For weeks on end, my mind was bombarded with innumerable thoughts. How many firefighters were inside, civilians, and other first responders? What was the purpose of this attack? What could have been done to mitigate this massive loss of life? And also the God questions. Why did he let it happen? Why didn't he prevent it? Why? At the same time, I was in my final year of studies to become a deacon, and the answers that I thought I had for those who questioned God, the destruction, and the enormous loss of life, they were not uplifting or reassuring. I doubted myself and my abilities to minister to others and initially decided to drop out of the program. Despite my mental turmoil, a very close friend reminded me that God never gives us more than we can handle, and He is always there to carry us through anything, if only we turn to Him in faith. My problem was not that, in my doubt, all I could see were the obstacles. In that doubt, I feared to continue my studies. Yet the angel that God sent to me strengthened my faith so that I was able to see the way through that confusion, and it took me to my ordination day. I learned a lesson. When one has doubts and questions about our faith, we need to stay with it and not walk away. Thomas could have told his fellow disciples that they were all crazy and left them to what he thought was complete idiocy. God's message to me, to Thomas, and to you, when your time comes, is this: Be still and know that I am God. For most of us, we could honestly say that we too are a lot like Thomas. After all, seeing is believing. We cannot believe something unless we see it, touch it. Yet, that is the heart of what the gospel is all about, faith. Ours is a faith that comes not from seeing, but from experiencing it in our hearts. It would be interesting to know what the next 8 days were like for Thomas. Surely his fellow disciples had a sense of peace about them. They had seen Jesus, but Thomas must have been miserable. In his mind, Jesus was dead. In his unwillingness to open his heart in faith, he missed out on all the joy that the risen Messiah offered. You and I and Thomas want to believe and not make up excuses, blame others, or cover up what we cannot see or understand. But in many, many ways, Jesus has given us the truth that he is God. However, the days did pass, and once again the disciples were gathered together. But this time, Thomas was with them. Once again, Jesus came and stood among them. When he approached Thomas and greeted him, Thomas, in his joy, love, gratitude, and now belief, could only say, "My Lord and my God." Thomas now became a believer and an eyewitness to the risen Jesus. If the Word, who is God, has now made the invisible God visible, and this book recorded by St. John has described how God has brought life and light to the world, then the resurrection cannot be something alien breaking into God's world. It is what has happened when the Creator himself comes to heal and restore his world and bring it to its appointed goal, his heavenly kingdom. St. John gives us this chapter to tell each of us that over 2,000 years ago, Jesus is talking to you and me, the same as if we were present during his physical ministry on earth. He may not come to another one of us as he came to Thomas, but we must grasp that all that Jesus said and did is vital to the health of our Christian faith. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. My point today is to believe in Jesus and through this faith to have life in his name. Remember, others have been our eyewitnesses throughout Jesus' ministry, as we heard in today's gospel. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief, you may have life in his name. In Jesus is life, and it can be in each of us if we believe.